Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show for teachers who desire to change lives without self-sacrifice. Let's dig deep together into the skill set, mindset, and best practices you and your students need to thrive in today's schools. Now your host, Marie Cooney.
Hello and welcome, Compassionate Educator. All right, I'm so glad that you are here with us today. I hope that you have had a wonderful week. And today, actually all month, we are going to be talking about some different strategies to help your students with social-emotional learning. This week I posed a question in several Facebook groups that are specific to teachers, and I asked, what is one thing that you wish would have been taught before you became a teacher? And there were a lot of really interesting answers, some of them expected, some of them not so expected, some of them very serious, some of them pretty funny actually. But one of the common themes that came across was teachers wish they had more training in how to meet the social and emotional needs of their students in terms of having more opportunities to learn how to promote the social and emotional learning for their students. And this is important across all grade levels. I mean, truly from birth until adulthood, this is a skill that needs to be taught, modeled, it needs to be practiced again and again and again. So what exactly is social-emotional learning, also known as SEL? Well, let's go straight to the NEA for some more information so that I make sure that I'm telling you what aligns in the world of education, okay? So straight from the NEA, social and emotional learning, SEL, is the process through which children and adults acquire and effectively apply the knowledge, attitude, and skills necessary to understand and manage emotions, establish and achieve positive goals, feel and show empathy for others, establish and maintain positive relationships, and make responsible decisions. Okay, so if you are saying to yourself right now, wow, I already do this in my classroom, then please send me a message and tell me what you are doing in your classroom. I would love to hear about it. I love hearing from different educators and what they are doing to incorporate this social-emotional learning piece into their classrooms. If you are questioning if you are bringing this into your classroom, then stay tuned. We'll clarify it a little bit more, and all month this podcast is going to have different resources, topics, information that aligns right with social-emotional learning, so stay tuned for that. And if you are saying to yourself, my goodness, I rely on my school counselor or, you know, my school social worker to bring social-emotional learning into my classrooms, then I want you to today start to feel empowered in bringing some of those opportunities directly into your classroom for your students. Because when it comes from the classroom teacher, that is the most beneficial to your students. So as a school counselor for many years, I absolutely loved going into the classroom and having activities and lessons and games as well, in the classrooms to promote social-emotional learning. I would do this as a large classroom, in small groups, individually. This is truly one of the core functions of what my role was as a school counselor. However, it is so much more impactful and powerful when these lessons, these strategies are being used every day within the classroom, and it just really helps to develop the whole student. Let's go back to the NEA for just a moment, and I'm going to tell you what the five core SEL competencies are so we can just all be on the same page here for a moment. So number one is self-awareness. Number two is self-management. And if you go back and listen to episode 4, I speak with Beth Pelk, where we talk about the zones of regulation and helping students with emotional regulation. So that's part of that self-management piece. The third is responsible decision-making. And I'll have more in this podcast about decision-making another day. Number four is relationship skills. And number five is social awareness. And social awareness is also where empathy and compassion really can come into play. And today we are going to be focusing on relationship skills. And it also kind of weaves in to the other four as well, okay? What we are talking about today is helping students when they have a conflict with another student. This comes up all of the time. And tell me, are you seeing in your school with your students that the number one person that your students typically have conflicts with are their friends? If you are seeing this, say yes, I see it. Because it's so interesting how a lot of times we think that conflict management is about helping two students who are not seeing eye to eye, who might have some differences, and, you know, coming together and really exploring how they can get along. So yes, that is a piece of it. But what I have seen in elementary, middle, and high school is that the students presenting a conflict and trying to either find a way to navigate this problem or sometimes lashing out, it's usually with someone that they have spent a lot of time with, someone that is typically a friend of theirs, maybe before recess, if you're in the elementary schools, maybe before recess, this person was their best friend, and then recess happens, and suddenly everything has changed, and they're not speaking to each other, and everything has gone downhill, and they are name-calling, and they are telling everybody that they will never be friends again. Or maybe you are in middle school or high school, and the conflict could look like an all-out altercation, and other adults have to get involved to break up an argument, whether it's verbal or physical. So there are different ways that this can look, but what I want to do today is really explore what you can do as an educator, as the primary adult in that child's life during the school day to help them resolve this conflict and not be the one to resolve the conflict for them, but to be the guide, to help them process what happened, and to help them navigate the circumstances of how they can reduce this conflict and hopefully in the end find a resolution and find some peace. The first step to take is to set yourself up for success. And what I mean by that is to start planting the seed for your students on what a peaceful conflict resolution can look like. I'm going to share with you some of the seeds that you can start discussing with your students, whether it's as a whole class or whether it's specific students if you work more in a small group setting or one-on-one with students. But these pieces are taken from Robert E. Valley, which the first one, actually this spells out resolution. I will type this in the show notes so that you can see exactly what this looks like. And then, if you are in the Compassionate Educators Facebook group, then you will see a picture of this as well. I will be posting this week. So, the R in resolution stands for respect the right to disagree. Respect the right to disagree. So this is really important because for your students to understand that not everybody has to have the same idea as they do. Or if your student believes that they are right and everyone else is wrong, okay, that's fine. You don't have to agree about it, but you have to respect that the other person has a different viewpoint. The E is express your real concerns. So here's really important to explain to your students that when they have a concern, to be upfront about it, to not hide it, because what happens then is it just continues to grow. You can explain it to them this way. You have, let's say, something in their refrigerator that stays in the refrigerator for a long time, and it starts to get moldy and stinky, and you just keep putting stuff in front of it, hoping it will just disappear and go away. But that thing in the fridge is getting stinkier and fuzzy day by day, and it's just going to continue to grow and to get worse. And that's what problems are like inside of us. So when we keep a problem bottled up inside, it's just getting stinkier and greener and fuzzier. And so, if as soon as there starts to be a real concern that needs to be brought up in a respectful way, because the more you hide it and hide behind it and try and push it down, the worse it often gets. So we have to be able to, let some air into it to remove that issue. And so helping them to understand that it's important to do something and to be able to express their concerns. And for you as the educator, for you as the caring adult, to create a safe place in which they feel that they can express their real concerns without punishment, right? So the S for resolution is share common goals and interests. This is really wonderful to help students see that they all have similarities. So, any types of activities, projects, games, little examples here and there that you can seed throughout the day in small ways or in larger, more intensive projects, the easier it will be when it comes time to solve a conflict, because the students will already realize that they share these commonalities and they have started some type of relationship, even if it's surface level, that's still the starting point. So again, S is share common goals and interests. O is open yourself to different points of view. So, whenever you can in the classroom, have students share different viewpoints, encourage them, and this kind of goes a little bit back to respect the right to disagree, but it's a slight variation because everybody has different viewpoints, and this really can help build empathy within the classroom. And the more you can build on the empathy, the easier it will be to help your students solve conflicts when they come up. L is to listen carefully to all proposals. What you can do in your classroom is provide opportunities for your students to listen to each other without interruption. I always love doing this one specific activity, and this is typically I would use it from grades second through high school. You might be able to use it for kinder and first, but it might be quite a bit more challenging because it's pretty challenging even for the older students. But what I would do is I would have these students partner up, and they would have to talk about one specific discussion point and make it really easy. So let's say talk about one animal or talk about your favorite food. And the one person has to speak on that topic for 1 full minute, and the other person has to listen carefully, has to listen closely, cannot interrupt. They are only to listen. And let me tell you, 60 seconds feels like an eternity for some students. And for some students, it's easier to listen. For others, it's more difficult to listen. But the point is that you are helping all of them to hone in on the skill of listening. And then for an extra challenge, have the listener try to repeat back the information. And then, of course, you want to switch so that each person in the partnership has an opportunity to have a turn. And if you have an odd number, always put yourself in as that extra person. And, you know, if you're in a space where you can kind of use yourself as a person that everybody wants to connect with, it'll make it much easier for that kind of odd person out so that nobody is feeling that they are left out. Everybody feels included. So as much as you can create that type of environment, the better. So listen carefully to all proposals. That activity that I just described, it truly only takes a few minutes. You can do that at the beginning or the end of a classroom. You can do that at the end or beginning of a class. It truly only takes a few minutes. Okay, the U for resolution is understand the major issues involved. So when the students sit down to discuss a conflict, so let's say the conflict has already happened, only the major issues should be discussed. So when I would have, let's say, two children in front of me and there was a conflict and we were doing some problem solving and some conflict resolution, if one of the students, let's say they are in sixth grade, and one of the students starts to say, well, when we were in third grade, I stop the conversation right there and I remind them that we need to focus on what has happened this year. We don't need to go back 3 years ago. Now, given there might be a history between these two, however, we want to help the students stay more present, more focused, and have the ability to navigate the situation that is happening right there and then and not dwell in the past, because that can bring up a whole nother host of issues. And truly, my plan was always to get to the core of the problem as quick as possible and come up with the best solution for everybody involved. Because the more we dwell on the problem, the bigger that problem becomes. So the more time we have to focus on a solution, then that is what the students will remember once they leave the space of where the conversation is happening to solve that conflict. Okay? All right, the T. The T is think about the probable consequences. I like to go through, what are the consequences of the action? So if you have students who are, let's say, well, let me back up for a moment. So let's go back to the very beginning. When a student comes to you And that student says there's a problem. So when the student says that there's a problem, what I like to do is take a look at what the student is hoping for. And what I typically say is, look, here is a way that you can maybe explore this issue on your own. So I give them that opportunity to really solve this on their own with the other person. The second is that we can work on solving this conflict together. So I can sit down and I explain exactly what my role is, that we can have a dialogue, and I am simply there to make sure that everyone has a voice at the table. Then the third option, and this typically I do put this on the table, but I try to get the student to choose one of the first two. The third is that I can speak to the other student about this. And typically I reserve this for cases where there might be maybe like a possible bullying situation. And we can talk about the ins and outs of what bullying actually is in another episode. But I put those three choices on the table, and if the student is having a hard time, we talk about what the potential consequences and outcomes are of those three. So again, we're planting the seeds of what possible outcomes or consequences are. And truly, consequences are just outcomes. What is the end result of the action that is going to be taken? What are the possible outcomes? And there are always, always many different outcomes that can occur from any specific action. So that's something that is really important to weave throughout your school day, is to talk about end results and consequences and outcomes of actions that your students are taking. The I is imagine several possible alternative solutions. I is imagine several possible alternative solutions. So this goes along with the consequences that we just spoke about. There are always more than one solution. There is always more than one solution. Always, always, always. And I want you to remember this for yourself too, okay? Any problem, any challenge that you are facing, there is always more than one solution. The O is offer some reasonable compromises. So if the students, once they have laid out on the table what the issue is, and they both had a chance to tell their side of the story, now it's time to look at some compromises. And what I always recommend, especially if we're talking about middle and high school, and upper elementary really too, is that the students come up with the plan. They come up with a solution that both parties can be okay with. So some reasonable compromises from the students themselves. Now, if they're having a really difficult time wrapping their heads around this, definitely offer some ideas. And always offer more than one to choose from, so that it is still coming from the students themselves, so that they are making a choice. Because when they make a choice, that's what empowers them to take an action and for them to see that through. If it's just that you're telling them this is what you should be doing, it's not going to be very meaningful to them. And the chances are much higher that they are going to be falling into the same position tomorrow or the next week or the next month because they didn't have ownership of that final compromise. So offer some reasonable compromises, but that is only after you've given them a chance to try to discover some on their own. And oftentimes, too, what happens in that moment of them thinking of a compromise, something that will work for all parties involved, is they start to have some teamwork just really naturally. It comes up. And I love to very gently point that out in terms of, wow, you know, that's really great. You were able to come up with that solution together. So again, always, always planting those seeds. Now, the final letter of resolution for our peaceful conflict resolution is N. Negotiate mutually fair cooperative agreements. And we just spoke about that in terms of the compromises. But again, it's really helpful if you are there present just to make sure, again, everybody's voices are heard and that the end result truly is fair. Because sometimes in situations, whether it's between two friends or just classmates, is that sometimes there's a bit of an imbalance of power, or maybe one person is speaking up more and the other person is kind of going along with it. Really use your judgment to consider, is this final solution that they have come to an agreement about truly fair for both parties? And if you believe that it's not, then offering some gentle guidance to make sure that when you leave that conversation, when the students leave that conversation, that everybody can leave feeling pretty good about the outcome. Okay, so again, respect the right to disagree. Express your real concerns. Share common goals and interests. Open yourself to different points of view. Listen carefully to all proposals. Understand the major issues involved. Think about probable consequences. Imagine several possible alternative solutions. Offer some reasonable compromises. And finally, negotiate mutually fair cooperative agreements. Again, this comes from Robert E. Valet with Peaceful Conflict Resolution, which I will post in the show notes for this podcast episode, as well as the Compassionate Educators Facebook group. I truly, truly hope that this was helpful. And like I said, the month of February is all about social emotional learning, because I love social emotional learning. And February is the month of love, isn't it? So I hope that you share my love for this topic. And if not, I hope that at least you are starting to open yourself up for some different possibilities of how you can effectively and seamlessly incorporate some of these strategies into your classroom, because you know I love simple yet effective strategies. All right, if you have any questions, always feel free to reach out to me. You can email me support@compassionateeducators.com, or you can message me through Facebook. Either one, I love hearing from you, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day.